India, a land with gushing rivers and green forests, an ancient culture and national treasures that harken back to a time long since past, and which, with history as its witness, has put many a hard time behind it with the help of various cultural attributes like language. India has managed to introduce itself to the world as a country that takes pride in its cultural history. In the first episode of The Green Treasure, the role of the Persian language and the Persian culture in India was revealed. We saw how Farsi, which took root in India 800 years ago, has managed to achieve many things in the realms of art, culture, poetry and verse, architecture, social dynamics, politics, and economics. The Persian tongue has been an undeniable influence in all this. A language that has been the language of culture, politics, and art for centuries.
India and Iran, they are very unique in terms of, you know, their experiences, in terms of their values and culture, in terms of their paradigm, in terms of their political experiences. This uniqueness basically brings a kind of unity of the two different cultures, who have experienced more or less same thing, the same problems, the same kind of exploitation by the external forces. And this experience, and the historical experiences of facing a lot of problems and challenges, that make both the countries very intelligent, wise, hardworking, and forward-looking. And this is what I say, the heritage of both the countries. This is the civilizational heritage of both India and Iran that make them unique in this whole world.
Arshi Khan's comments speak to the deep-rooted relations between Iran and India over centuries, relations that went beyond the day-to-day social contacts and took on a spiritual aspect. The Persian language hasn't acted as a tool to plunder India's natural wealth. Rather, it's been perceived as the reason behind the deep spiritual relations between the two nations. As you saw at the beginning of this study, Farsi turned into a language of poetry, human relations, administration of justice, maintaining law and order, and the development of spiritual thoughts. The thousands of documents written in Farsi are held in Indian libraries and cultural centers. But the Persian language, which was once very much a part of people's lives in India, has been threatened by various elements. As a result, India and the history of the Persian language in this nation have drifted apart. The year 1832, the beginning of Britain's colonization of India, also marks the beginning of the British government's attack on the Persian language. Britain had occupied India with the help of its powerful military and fought with the people, and that way it imposed itself onto India's history. But what prevented Britain from impacting the Indian people's culture was none other than the Persian language, with its beauty and richness. But the British launched a deliberate attack on Farsi and weakened it. Now, in the year 2012, I ask language researchers to tell me more about Farsi.
the aim of them, the goal of the British was actually try to attract the attention of the Indian people, whether it were Hindus, whether it were Muslims, because they would think, look, these people, they are not foreigners, they are not aliens. They come here, they are trying to adopt their own culture, because, you know, when you speak the language, when you adopt some parts of the culture, I mean, the strangeness or any, even enmity, it actually it reduces or vanishes from there. So this is one of the tricks used by the British, first to attract the people towards them, then to follow the policy of divide and rule. Now they try to create the differences between the Hindus and between the Muslims and between the Sunnis and between the Shias. And even among the Hindus themselves, they try to do that. And they realize that since Persian is so much widely spread all over India, the basic factor combining the people of India is Persian, because the Persians, the people of the south, they have their own languages. The people of Kashmir and Punjab and Sindh and other people, they have their own languages. But the lingua franca, the language which they used to converse with each other, was Persian.
तो उस दौर में उन्होंने सिर्फ सियासी छावनियां नहीं बनाई बल्कि उनका एक बहुत बड़ा मकसद ये था कि यहाँ से अपना कल्चरल सुप्रीमेसी कायम करें और जो रूट्स हैं उनसे यहाँ की पॉपुलेशन को काटें तो जब तक रूट्स से कटती नहीं उस वक्त तक आप दूसरा कल्चर उस पर इम्पोज नहीं कर पाते तो रूट्स के काटने के लिए उन्हीं ने यकीनी तौर के ऊपर फारसी ज़बान उनको पसंद नहीं थी फारसी ज़बान का चलन और इल्मी ज़बान के तौर के ऊपर कम से कम उसको इंग्लिश के ज़रिए रिप्लेस करने के लिए जी जान से कोशिश की दूसरी एक और कोशिश की उन्हीं ने और वो कलकत्ते से शुरू हुई कलकत्ते का फोर्ट विलियम कॉलेज है और वो ये उन्हीं ने किया वो डिवाइड एंड रूल वाली पॉलिसी के तहत किया कि फारसी के मुकाबले में जो वल्नाकुरल थे और जो लोकल ज़बानें थीं उनको उन्होंने बढ़ावा दिया ये काम भी किया उन्होंने वो भी दरअसल फारसी को ज़ेर करने के लिए था उनका कोई अच्छा मकसद नहीं था उसका नतीजे अच्छे निकले लेकिन उसका उनका मकसद अच्छा नहीं था वो ये नहीं चाहते थे कि बंगाली या उर्दू या हिंदी या आसामी या दूसरी ज़बानें वो रवाज पैदा करें बल्कि उनका मकसद ये था कि फारसी के ज़बान मुकाबले में इनको राज करो
The research tells us that one of the obstacles Britain faced in achieving its cultural objectives in India was the Persian language, and so it was targeted. The plan was to eradicate Farsi from Indian lives, and eventually English replaced Farsi in India.
من وقتی انگلیس وارد هند شد من همونطور که عرض کردم زبان فارسی زبان رسمی و درباری بود یعنی ادارجات و دربار رسمی بود و زبان فارسی رو استعمال میکردم انگلیس ها برای اینکه بتونن وارد چیز بشن خودشون یک مدرسه درست کردن مدرسه عالیه کلکته که در اونجا فارسی تدریس میشد برای چیز فورت ویلیام کالج اصلا برای علوم شرقی بود بسیاری از کتاب های فارسی رو اینها درس میدادن و کار کردن و چاپ کردن اشیاتیک سوسایتی تمام اینها که جایی بود که شروع به دولت انگلیس ها به افسران خودشون فارسی یاد میدادن تا بتونن وارد چیز بشن یعنی با سیستم آشنا بشن کم کم که با سیستم آشنا شدن یا مدرسه ها زبان فارسی یواش یواش افول کرده بود اردو یواش یواش جای زبان فارسی گرفت اینا مستقیما وارد زبان انگلیسی نشدن اردو که زبان به قول هندی ها میگن زبان سپاهی هستش اردو به خود با همون عنوان هسته که از زبان فارسی و سانسکریت و عربی و اینها مجموعه ای از لغاتی هستش که زبان اردو رو به وجود آورده یواش یواش به وارد اردو شدن و بعد تونستن به زبان رو تغییر بدن به زبان انگلیسی
But when the British came, they wanted to, you know, to disturb two, three things, I must tell you. They were not in a position immediately to take militarily India or military takeover immediately. They did not do this. In the beginning, they basically captured the economic market. So they first approached the economy. So you find the British came as a businessman here in India. Then after economics, they wanted to play politics. And then they, you know, brewed the feud and divide between different kings, etc. And they began to capture some lands, especially the coastal areas like Bombay, like Calcutta, etc., like Madras. So you find that when the British came, they were not comfortable with the Indian tradition. They were not comfortable with the Indian grassroots level administration like panchayat, like janapadas, like Mughal institutions, governing institutions. They were not comfortable with this because these were not these institutions were not thought to be benefiting the British, because British had their own agenda, and that agenda was to exploit the country, because Mughals were here not to exploit the country. The Sultanate king, the Muslims, were here not to exploit the country.
What history bears witness to is that Britain invaded India before cultural ties were firmly established. They came with their military might and careful planning. After achieving several goals, in 1850, Britain decided it was time to target the people's culture and languages.
The first thing the British did was to ban Persian, the teaching of Persian, in areas under their control. Of course, there are so many other states which are not directly under the control of the British. Like we had Hyderabad, we had Bhopal, we had some other small principalities which were having the local rule, not directly under the British, although the external affairs were in the hands of the British. In these places, the Persian was there, but in the central places, I mean the central provinces, or the parts of India or Pakistan, what you call it now, which were under the direct rule of the British, here they banned the use of Persian language. And first they encouraged Urdu, and then they replaced it with English. Because as I said, it was easier for them to rule India. Because once the English language became dominant, they can rule the people. They can divide them further. And it was in these times, more divisions happened in it because of the difference of languages. As long as the people used to follow the Persian language, they were united.
After the collapse of Muslim power, Britishers came here. They replaced the language, official language, with English. And the madrasa institutions were compelled by the system to introduce Hindi and English in their courses. So due to these changes, political changes, the importance of Persian language was minimized. This was a political change. Due to that political change, that Persian language could not be retained as the official language or the language more than important more than other languages. So it was only due to the political reasons.
It's because of the English or the British control over India in the 19th century, and how gradually the British, they seized all parts of India. And when they found that the cultural links between the Iranians and the Indians were quite deep, they wanted to, as part of the policy of divide and rule, they wanted to separate the two peoples so that it would be easier for them to separate them, rule them. So I think that's one of the reasons, as you said, as you pointed out, that for the time being, the relations in the political sphere, we have only to do with the oil, the purchase of oil from Iran, and this exchange of students, because there are so many students studying in India because of the technology and the language that the Indians have. There are so many Iranians going to the Indian universities and studying over there. And there are so many other items as well, because if you look at the carpet trade, because even the carpets in Kashmir, they have been influenced by the Iranian carpets. And there are so many other factors we can discuss and elaborate upon in the course of time.
By attacking India's ancient culture and the Persian language, Britain became an alien entity in the eyes of the people. I myself am curious as to how the Persian language and culture managed to affect every aspect of India, only via culture. To write poetry and invite the people to love and friendship, while the British onslaught was so determined to separate them from those things. What a difference.
When India became, this Indo-Pakistan subcontinent became a colony of the Britishers, and one of the very important things for them was not only occupy it for political gains, but to transform it culturally and delink its people with their rich past. So that was initiated by the Britishers. So they changed their law, which was Islamic jurisprudential law, which was here in this whole subcontinent, and they just language is one of the targets of the colonial powers. And so they wanted to dealing the people with their rich cultural past. And one of them was replacing the language. Though Urdu is a cultural continuation of Persian, and Urdu after 1947, particularly, it was in a way ostracized and marginalized, being described as a communal language. So the people in India, they were bereft of this very rich language, rich legacy. And when the people are bereft of their legacies, cultural legacies, they are subject to manipulation.
It's quite contrary to what the relations they had with British. British came here as a power of occupied powers. They didn't treat this as their own country. They wanted India for some reasons and they used it for some reasons. But for those who came from the immediate West, whether from Iran or they adopted India. Even the kings who came, even the Mughals came, or whoever came from that, the Central Asia or these parts, they made it their own country. They came here, they lived here, and they had relations with the locals. They adopted it their own country, and they treated it as their own country. I don't think that anybody in India now, you heard that they will tell you that the Mughals came from outside. They treat them as their own kings. They treated them their own. They treated their own rulers. So this is not the case with the British. So these two rules, these two periods had entirely different dynamics. There had been continuous migrations for centuries from Iran to this part of world. You'll see there are lots of Indians who claimed themselves as an Iranian descent. So they lived here, they made it their home, and they are as happy as anything.
सबसे बड़ी बात जो है उन्होंने तारीख को हथियार बनाया लोगों में तफरका डालने के लिए और तारीख के अंदर वो बेबुनियाद चीजें शामिल कर दी जिनका के हकीकत से कोई सरोकार नहीं था लेकिन वो एक वही पॉलिसी जो है जो मशहूर जमाना है कि झूठ को इतनी दफे बोलो कि लोग उसे सच समझने लगे.
It's because of this that the Indian culture is still brimming with elements of the Persian language, unaffected by colonialism and politics. Books, inscriptions, society, the spoken languages of India all display Persian influences and all speak of love, friendship, God and life. They hearken back to a time when Persian had prominence.
It's very essential to know that because earlier the Farsi was the court language also, and all the documents even during the British period were written in Farsi. So that has to be, it was a subject which one has to know. The sale deeds and the property papers, the documents, they were all in Farsi. It is only later that Urdu replaced it, and thereafter other languages, English and Hindi and other languages.
So far as I know about the relationship of India and Iran, this relationship is of, I think, a cordial relationship, because give and take relationship. The impact of Iranian language, because the Mughals were the rulers for many years, they used Iranian language in their judicial language or in their court language it was, and various poets such as, you can say, Sadi or Rumi, and generally people considered that a Rumi is their mentor, a spiritual mentor, as Allama Iqbal, the one of the most, what you can say, important poet philosopher of Indian subcontinent.
The imagination of the men and women of this land still takes to its wings at the sight of the poems of great poets such as Saadi, Hafiz, Jami, and Maulavi. They take a trip down memory lane and remember the good times for India. And the young in this vast country, just like their ancestors, consider Farsi as a window to their history and the time when the Persian language was in widespread use. Today, poetry in India is not only an arrangement of rhyming words, but also a statement speaking of the culture, relation, and the life of the Eastern man, and on top of it all, the human relations between the two nations.
Khunaka roos ke parwaaz kunam ta bareu ba hawaye sare kuyash paro bali be zanam yani basue iran
zisharar sitara joyan zis sitara aftabe sare manzile nadaram ki bamiram az qarar
kanidam ke mardan rahe khuda dile dushmana humna kardan tan tura ke muyassar shabad e maqam ke ba dostanat khilafast jang.
I leave India firm in the notion that this great country, with all its beauty, its warm-hearted people and history, owes some of its success to the Persian language. India's libraries, architecture, and its elderly bear witness to that. And finally, I'm reminded of a line from the poet Iqbal Lahori that represents the deep-rooted cultural relations between the nations of the region and the role of the Persian language in making that bond stronger. A poem that would probably lose its meaning in translation if rendered into English. Like a lantern I burn on your street. Oh, the youth of Persia, believe me, I have spent a big part of my life thinking until I came to understand your hidden thoughts. Thank you.